listening to the CCA Podcast.
I just so appreciated how you responded and opened up your hearts in worship this morning. And we're going to try to have a little bit of time in just waiting on the Lord at the end of the service today. I think that God is he's doing something. And when we declared that this was going to be the theme for the message for today, come Holy Spirit, it was really with a sense of the prayer of how much we need the Holy Spirit, how much we need His working, and how important it is that we open up our hearts to what He wants to do. It's because the Holy Spirit speaks to us that dreams and visions like this training center come into fulfillment. And it's not always it's not always a big thing. It's not always a conference center. Sometimes it's just a change of relationship. Sometimes it's just a stepping out in faith in a new way that we hadn't anticipated. But it's because we listen to the Holy Spirit. And so we want to be people who cultivate that expectant attitude of saying, come Holy Spirit, do what you want to do. End of the year is always such a interesting time, really, don't you think? In terms of how many of you have made it a habit at some point in your life to do New Year's resolutions? Not too many. I think a lot of us are skeptical of New Year's resolutions, right? I was reading this week that one of the old sayings about New Year's resolutions is they go in one year and out the other. We often don't fulfill them. They do a survey every year on what are the current New Year's resolutions that people are making. And so this is, lose weight has traditionally been throughout the years one of the biggest. Get fit, lose weight. Gym membership just skyrockets in January and then, plummets on towards June. But it's actually down this year by 3 percentage points. Last year it was 42% of people said that was their number one. It lost. Saving money, however, came up by 6 percentage points. So people are thinking, oh, okay, it's a change. I don't care about my fatness. I care about this fatness. I'm not sure. Travel more really increased this year. You'll notice that the percentages don't exactly come out. It's because this is like percentages of top items. But travel more went up actually by 8% this year. People are wanting to get out and travel. New job or hobby, make new friends, find love. It's interesting. It's kind of low this year and has been over the last several. Used to be a lot higher. Maybe there's a certain skepticism about done there, tried that. Really tried to make that a priority of finding love, and it just didn't work. So the question is, what's God want for us? What's His priority for New Year's? There's an opportunity that we have to think about the new things that God wants to do. I was sharing in the pre-service with our leadership team that Isaiah 43:19 says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." G.K. Chesterton, he's a fascinating author. He says, a lot of us get skeptical about resolutions and making New Year's resolutions, and rightfully so, perhaps. But, he says, the object of a new year, I love this, The object of a new year is not that we should have a new year. It is that we should have a new soul and a new nose and a new feet, a new backbone, new ears and new eyes. Unless a particular man made New Year's resolutions, he would make no resolutions. Unless a man starts afresh about things, he will certainly do nothing effective. In other words, starting new is a part of a rhythm that God's built into the universe, and he gives us chances, and he wants us to start new. And he wants us to keep working at it, to have fresh eyes and a fresh nose and a new backbone and like, okay, I'm going to go at it. I'm not going to settle for the way things have been. So what is God's priority? Well, let me submit to you, and it's on your listening notes, and it's number one. The Father's priority is your fruitfulness. The Father's priority is your fruitfulness. Now, I don't know if that's threatening to you or encouraging. I think it's maybe a little bit of both, because I recognize that as I kind of do the self-examination, am I as fruitful as I long to be? Well, I'm really not. But the Lord, see, the Father, Jesus said, is the gardener. And he tends the garden in order that it may what? Bear fruit. Famous words of Jesus, John chapter 15, he spoke them just hours before he went to the cross. He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Now, the Greek word for prunes is also the word for cleans. So then Jesus does that play on words, which it's actually the same word. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, however, there's kind of a however in there. You can do nothing. You can accomplish nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. It's not just a little fruit. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Wow. It's a familiar passage. It's a powerful passage, and it speaks to us about God's priority. He's the gardener. He's concerned about his garden, and he is going to tend it, and he's going to prune in order to make it fruitful. Now, I've heard over the years a lot of pastors talk about, you know, what that pruning process looks like, and some were garden specialists, and they kind of knew about, you know, they'd talk about where to prune and why it's important, and I've tried to listen, you know, Cisco and that kind of thing about, you know, how to do. I've never been a good pruner. It's an art. Knowing exactly where to prune and how to prune and when to prune is really an art. But if you do it well, you have more fruit. And the Father is concerned about our fruitfulness. Now, let's just ask a few questions. So in your notes, the first one, what is the fruit? What is the fruit? Well, let me submit from this passage that it's love for people and the conversion of sinners. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." The fruit flows out of the nourishment of the sap, and it's in the vine, and it's coming out of the soil and through the vine and then out to the branches, and then the fruit comes out of it. And that nourishment, let me submit, is the love, the powerful, the overwhelming love of God. The love of God that comes out of the depths of who He is transported to us through Jesus Christ and pops out in fruit in our lives. And in the expression of love to others, we are bearing fruit of righteousness. Let me submit that it's also the conversion of sinners. Jesus, when he was speaking with the Samaritan woman at the well, she went away to grab her friends, and the disciples came and they said, "Well, Lord, what are you doing?" And as the Samaritan woman was coming back with her friends, Jesus said, "There are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. But I tell you, lift up your eyes." And I'm imagining that what's happening is the Samaritans are coming from outside of the town and out to the well. And it's like they're dressed in white and they're coming in, and he's saying, "Look at the harvest. Can't you see the fields are already white for the harvest? He who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together." Gathers fruit for eternal life, or fruit that is eternal. Fruit for eternal life probably corresponds with what John said, or what Jesus said in John 15. That he said, "I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." So the fruit of our lives is people who come to Christ and the love that we demonstrate. Now, so that's what the fruit is, but how does the fruit come? How does fruit come? Well, we've often, you probably heard it expressed, and I've heard it expressed it myself, that a tree does not sit there and kind of go, poop. It's not like that. It's as the sap continues to flow, and it's a slow, gradual process. As photosynthesis, as the sun is shining, and then the sap is flowing, and the work happens, and fruit comes. And Jesus says, fruit's going to come by abiding in me, by remaining in me. You can't bear fruit unless you remain in me. So if I'm going to give attention to fruitfulness, then I've got to give attention to remaining. I've got to give attention to abiding. And I think one of the biggest hindrances to abiding is distraction. We are distracted by many things. We are concerned with many things, worried with many things, and those distractions are going to come. And God is calling us. He's continually calling us in. He's saying, "Abide in me. Take time with me. Spend time." It's a time thing. Fruit is going to come from abiding. And we can't bear unless we abide. What's the result of the fruitfulness? What's the result? The result is that the Father's going to be glorified. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. The result of the fruitfulness is that people are going to say, "Isn't God good?" If if the fruit of love is being demonstrated in our lives and showing up, what people are going to say about that is that, wow, God is good. I was talking with Sean Rutan, who's pastoring our community dinner church that takes place downstairs in the Nest Room every Tuesday night. And we were talking just yesterday about how it went on Christmas Day, and they were downstairs and reaching out to people. And we were just talking about how that what happens when love is demonstrated like that in a community is that there's lift that comes in a community. A community is lifted up by people who serve, by people who consider their own, consider others' needs to be more important and higher than their own. And so there's lift. And a part of the purpose of a church like ours is for lift to happen. And it happens as we're bearing fruit. It's a, and then God is glorified. Our Father is glorified. Well, the thing is that Jesus doesn't just leave us on our own for this to happen. So that's the second part. He sent us an advocate. The Father sent us an advocate, the Paraclete. It's a parakletos in Greek. It's a unique word in reference to the Holy Spirit, and it means advocate, a counselor, one who comes alongside, a helper. All of those words are kind of tied in with this Greek word parakletos. And man, how many of you can say, man, when it comes to the Christian life, I need a helper, right? Anybody? Like, we need a helper. It is not the task of following Jesus, of walking in his commands, of doing his purposes, of bearing fruit for righteousness. Man, we just don't do that on our own, right? We need a helper. And Jesus says, hey, good news. I'm going away. But the fact that I'm going away, the Father then is going to send you another parakletos, which implies that Jesus was the parakletos. He was the comforter. He was the counselor. He was the one. But now the Father's sending another one. And the new one, the Holy Spirit, he's present everywhere, in every heart. He comes alongside of us. Listen to what it says. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives in you and will be with you. For he lives with you and he will be with you. Or he will be in you. I love that. The Holy Spirit is in us. And the Holy Spirit is like wanting to come out, you know? He's wanting to show up in the fruit that we bear. This morning, we're in worship, and some of you know what that's like. There's you know, for Darlene Stevenson, she's worshiping God and she's praising him, and then it's like there's a stirring in her heart, a stirring that comes of the Holy Spirit. And it's like he's wanting to come out. He's, you know, not like the alien. boom! He's wanting to show up in fruitfulness and many times in the sense of a word. And so then it's like, I've got to release this. I've got to say it. And it's the word of Jesus to us. It's the Holy Spirit reminding us of the things that Jesus taught, that the Father says, I love you. I love you, and I want you to come in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and I want you to let me in. I Some of my fondest memories are of times when I've been in a worship service and when the Holy Spirit just wanted to bust out. There was a guy in our church at Calvary Chapel, and we were meeting down in the Meany Tower Hotel. And his name was Frank, and Frank was kind of a cool dude, and this is back in the 70s, right? And he has long hair, and he was just a little bit on the sort of the hippie freakish side, sort of a leftover hippie. And so we'd be in worship, and then all of a sudden it would be, "I, the Lord, say unto you," and he'd burst into song, like, a prophetic word, but in song, and it was like, whoa, goosebumps. It was cool, and he had such a beautiful voice, and it was just, the Holy Spirit just wants to bust out, because he's wanting to remind us of what Jesus said. In fact, that's exactly what the scripture says. "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you." So how does the Holy Spirit help? Because he reminds us of what Jesus said. He also helps by giving us power to witness. By giving us power to witness. We've done this whole series throughout the fall on the gospel project and the gospel primer, learning about how the gospel, learning what gospeling looks like, living out the gospel in the lives of others around us. And we need power to do it. Yesterday, our neighbor came over, and sometimes it's like this, and this was one of those a little bit disappointing things. He came over, and we had invited him over for Christmas Eve, and he was part of a bunch of people around our table and heard stories about how Jesus is working in their lives, and it was pretty cool. And so he came over, and he's sitting in my living room, And we're just talking about stuff, and I'm trying to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying, but I feel like I'm just kind of not catching it, we had a gracious time, a wonderful time, we're drinking coffee, and then he leaves, and then afterwards, it was like the Holy Spirit saying, "Well, Steve, you could have said this," and it was like, "Yes, I could have said that." How many can relate to that? Like, afterwards, you remember. See, what needs to happen is the Holy Spirit wants to tune us up. He wants to tune our ears to the words that are right at that moment. And so I just made a commitment at that time and said, "Lord, I want to be more focused. I want to be more intentional. I want you to tune my ears so that I hear it ahead of time and not afterwards." But the scripture says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And I know what that feels like when I'm in a conversation with someone, and it is like there's a power that is beyond myself that's there, that's given me the right word at the right time. It's a power that's beyond my own ability, and that's what the Holy Spirit gives us. He also helps in that he changes our desires. He does change our desires. We all struggle with the lust of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, the whole list, the litany, it's all there. The struggle of the flesh that we have, and every single one of us knows it. And it might show up in selfishness. It might show up in sexual impurity. It might show up in greed. It might show up in temper. it might show up in irritability. There's a bunch of ways in which the flesh shows up. What the Spirit does is He changes our desires. When we walk in the Spirit, then the Scripture says we stay in step with the Spirit, and we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. It's that old principle of the expulsive power of a new affection. The Spirit pulls us into that love relationship with Jesus, and that new affection, it has an expulsive power, and it changes our desires. And so for 2019, let's hold on to it. Let's say, okay, you know, I've got old issues of the flesh that I deal with. They're a part of me, but God is changing me. He's changing my desires. He's changing my heart. He's changing my longings, and I'm going to hold on to that. So how do we give then? How do we give the Spirit more room in our lives? How do we give the Spirit more room? How do we as a church give the Spirit more room? Okay, real quickly. One, by waiting, seeking, and expecting. By waiting, seeking, and expecting. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, Jesus said to His disciples, He said, "Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you have heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." He said, wait. Wait, seek, and expect. There's, I think, part of the struggle of humankind, and it's always been this way. It's been this way for centuries, is that we're not willing to wait. We are impatient. Blaise Pascal said it back in the... Blaise Pascal lived in the 1600s, 1700s. Man, I'm 1700s. Someone's going to Google it right now, and you're going to know. Thank you. Blaise Pascal, he said, the problem of modern man is that he's unwilling to sit alone in his room. In the 1600s, the problem of modern man is that he's not able to sit alone in his room. We're always needing diversion, always needing some kind of stimulus. Oh my goodness, you know? I mean, in the era of screens, that is so huge. You know, I mean, it's so easy for us to get there. I mean, for me now, even, you know, and I was kind of like, for years and years, I was like, I don't want to be the smartphone guy. But now, you know, I've had the smartphone for years. And so what's the very first thing that happens in the morning? Well, where's my alarm? It's my smartphone. So the alarm goes off. I pick it up, hit the snooze button, and then like, well, okay, you know, check the news. And the problem of modern man is there's constant stimulus, and there's not that quiet, that waiting that we so much need. So we are to wait until we've received power. So by waiting, seeking, and expecting, the second thing is by keeping in step with the Spirit. Deliberately, that's like a dance. It says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit in Galatians 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. It's like on a march or a dance. Both work. It's like, Spirit of God, okay, I want to stay in pace with you. One of the things about, you know, I don't run very much. I don't run at all anymore. My knees don't handle it. I used to run back when I was younger, but I was never very good at it. But it was always better for me if I could run with someone who was willing to go at my pace and just push me just a little bit. It was like, okay, I can stay in step with you. See, the Spirit is constantly, he's just pressing us just a little bit, just the right amount, just like, okay, stay in step with me. And to stay in step with him, we've got to listen. You know, interesting thing, 5 years ago, 2013, the church had, we had sold the apartments. We had had debt, significant debt, $2.4 million that had been incurred when we'd taken out a loan to do a major renovation. And the church was really struggling with that debt. And God gave a way for us that was really amazing in that we were able to sell the apartments up on the corner up here, and we were able to earn $2.2 million. After fees and everything that came out, it ended up being about $2 million. We were able to put right towards the debt, and then our debt was reduced to just a little over $400,000. And so it was like, wow, oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, that was a big, big deal because that was a huge, you know, we were having to pay $25,000 a month just for loan payments. So our loan, the new one, you know, was set to end in, I think it was 2026. I'm not sure exactly, but in 2013, so 5 years ago, I was reading in Scripture. I was reading about Moses and at the water's edge of the Red Sea, and about the words, "Stand still and see the salvation of your God." Stand still and see the salvation of your God. And I was thinking about the debt, and I felt like God spoke just a word to me saying, you're not gonna have to have a campaign. You're not gonna have to ask anybody for the money, but I'm gonna settle this in 5 years. It'll be done. And so I said, and there were times when I was really tempted to kind of, you know, step up and say that before the congregation, like, okay, we're coming up on that, you know, we're coming up on that 5 years. And in my mind, too, I was kind of like, well, 5 years, sort of give or take, you know. When exactly, because I went back and looked at my journal and I couldn't locate exactly the date, you know, when I'd been reading that, when it happened. But I was pretty sure that it was 2018, but I thought, well, maybe it was 2019. Well, the finance team this year was looking at the finances, and one of the things they've noted is that it's been remarkable how the parking lot income has really been much more significant than what we anticipated, and it's given us capacity to pay down the loan in a much more rapid manner. And they recommended to the board, hey, you know, we actually have funds where we could, the $103,000, so we were paying it down way, way, way faster. And that $103,000 that's still left, they recommended, hey, let's take the money that's in the reserve and let's pay it off. And so the board voted this week to do that. And so we, as of the end of 2018, we are debt-free. No debt whatsoever. And we didn't have to do one thing in terms of campaigning or asking for money. Your faithfulness, many of you gave significantly, but God made a way. And that's the thing about, see, if we stay in step with the Spirit, he makes a way. And he's doing that for every one of us. So one last thing. How to make room for the Spirit in our lives? By hanging out with others who are full. By by hanging out with others who are full. Scripture says, and so that is one of the, that's one of the points there. It's going to show up. Boom, by hanging out with others who are full. Boom, there it is. I love the passage, the very simple passage in Acts 2:1, and it says, and they were all together in one place. And then the Spirit came. They were all together in one place. A lot of you know the joke. You know, the King James says they were all together in one accord. It's the first automobile in the Bible. Okay, they were all together in one accord. But they were all together in one place. On the back of your notes, there's some next steps. Let me suggest that here's some possible resolutions. Commit to regular reading, letting God's, Jesus' words, and worship team, come on up. We're gonna close with a song. And we're not gonna have as much time for just waiting and listening as I had hoped, but a possible next step. I don't know how it is with you in scripture reading and how committed you are, and maybe how many times you've started and not done it, but commit to regular reading of God's Word. 5 minutes a day is a good starting place. Set aside time for waiting. Waiting, praying, reflecting, just being quiet. 5 minutes a day is a good start. You do 5 minutes reading the Scripture. You do 5 minutes of just waiting and listening to God. There's 10 minutes, a 10-minute segment. If you just are silent and with no other distractions for 10 minutes, there's something that can happen actually in your spirit and in your soul, even in that 10-minute time. Hang out with God's people who are praying. Next week, we are going to have on Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, we're going to have a time of corporate prayer. Now, every year, we push it and encourage, and every year we get basically the same people there. And I'm thankful for those people, but I'm thinking that some of you could take one of those nights when you usually wouldn't do it, and you'd say, okay, no, you know what? Giving the Spirit room in my life is important to me. That's a big deal. This is a new year. I'm making a new start. I want a new me. I want a new nose. I want a new mouth. I want new ears. I want a new backbone. So I'm gonna spend one of those nights hanging out with God's people who are praying and soak it in. And then another thing is to listen very carefully to what the Spirit is saying and write it down. Listen. What's the Spirit saying to you? What's He saying in your heart? How is He prompting you? How is He bringing encouragement? How is He bringing challenge? How is He bringing rebuke? How is He bringing correction? How is He bringing conviction? What's He saying? But, you know, let's trust the Holy Spirit. Let's trust Him that He really is communicating, that He really is giving us what we need, that He's really taking this church together corporately in the way that He wants us to, that let's listen. Let's listen carefully. Let's listen individually. Jesus, we pray that You would come in 2019, that You would break into our world in new ways. We need it. We need new ears. We need new eyes, a new nose. We need a new backbone. We need a freshness. And Lord, You're doing a new thing. And so we pray, oh, come. And Lord, the old bondages that need to be broken, the old habits that have gotten in the way, we pray that this would be a year of genuine breakthrough. Lord, let the wonderful sap, healthy sap, flow through us from the vine and out into the branches and bear fruit, fruit of righteousness, fruit that brings glory to the Father's name. Lord, we say we're willing to wait. We're willing to take the time. We want to do whatever we can do to give room, Holy Spirit, to you. And so we're anticipating, we're expecting, we're hopeful, we're so thankful for you. And so we commit ourselves as your servants. And if there's anybody here who is not, you know, you're not committed to Jesus Christ, or maybe, you know, maybe you have been, but it's been kind of adrift. Today could be just that new day of just saying, Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, take over. I've tried to give you control before, but I really want to do it. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to walk in your ways.